The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground, and in response they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. The tendency with this reading, it seems, is to just immediately jump to, "Oh my gosh, Lord, you are so awesome and so good. You know, these merciless Pharisees, why would they do this? They're so hard on this woman. May you be praised." You know, it's one of these readings that if we really want to understand what's going on, we have to enter into it. Because the Pharisees, they're actually just trying to follow the law. What would the effect be on everyone present? We can only understand if we enter in and act as if we were there. Gosh, what would I actually have been thinking and feeling if I was standing in that crowd? What if you had followed the Pharisees because the man she had committed adultery with was your husband? Or what if that man was your dad? Or your son? Or your brother, and you knew that she had seduced him? Or you were aware that this was the third or fourth time this woman had done this, and finally she'd been caught. And you're thinking, "Thanks be to God, you know what? She's going to get what she deserves." Or what if you were on the other side, and that woman was your daughter, and you knew that she had been violated as a little girl, and that's why she did what she did? Or she was your sister, and you had prayed for her for years, and now you're standing there saying, "Dear God, please, is there some way that she could still be saved?" And what does our Lord do? He responds to both. He is perfectly just. He condemns the sin, but he is perfectly merciful, and he does not condemn the sinner. He acts out of love, because love can never be separated from justice, but it can also never be separated from mercy. And any time we think we're acting out of love without being just or without being merciful, we are being deceived. And there are probably times where we err in one direction or the other. And there are certain generations that err on one side or the other. In the times that we live in, we tend to fail to be just in love. Right? And what does love without justice look like? It just dismisses the sin. It ignores it. It avoids it. It doesn't confront it. Right? It allows a person to remain in their sin. And that is never love. But what is love without mercy? It is failing to love the person in the midst of their sin. It is condemning the sinner and not their sin, or condemning both at the same time. And if we're really, really going to help someone out of their sin, we have to love them. And it's normally loving the sinner that most brings them out of their sin. We ask our Lord for the grace to practice true love. Love that is just and love that is merciful at the same time.